O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we come today talking about what it means to be transformed. So, I'm sure that most of you know the story of the gift of the Magi. So I know it's a Christmas story, but bear with me just a minute. So if you don't, I'll do a quick synopsis. It's a story of a young couple recently married. They loved each other with all of their hearts. And Christmas came around and they wanted to give a special gift to each other. They wanted to bring everything they had, withholding nothing, as our New Testament scripture so beautifully said. And so, being in deep poverty, the only thing the man possessed was a watch that had been handed down to him. And the only thing the woman possessed was her lovely long hair. So the man sold his watch so that he could buy a comb for his wife's lovely hair. And the woman chopped off all of her hair and sold it so she could buy a chain for the husband's watch. A heartwarming story, I know. A gift of love and sacrifice. And I see that my video has frozen. That's okay. I'm asking my other folks to give me a thumbs up if they can hear me. Can you hear me? Okay, that's all that matters. My video's frozen. So, I remember reading this as a seventh grader, watching all my friends cry, and I kept thinking, what's wrong with these people? What a waste. You see, as selfless and sacrificial as those gifts were, and as much from the heart as they were, and for all the right reasons, they ended up being useless. Why? Because they didn't communicate their gifts with each other. They didn't act as one in concert, each understanding the other. To paraphrase James a little bit, communication, gifts without communication are dead. So I'm going to try real quick to look at a setting here and see if I can't get this video back on. You all, we are live, and this happens when you're live. And we lost our video client. Hold on just a second. Nope, we are not going to get video on today. These things happen when you're live. I hooked up a new camera, and I think my computer has just told me it's done. Anyway, we can hear sound, so we're good. So, much like this young couple living in deep poverty, the church in Rome also very little resources. They were under persecution from all sides. The Jewish legalistic establishment, the pagans, the government, even other Christians, as they were predominantly Gentiles who never first converted to Judaism. They were considered less than by virtually everyone in society, doomed for failure. Yet some of our most profound early theology comes from this letter of both encouragement and warning and admonition. Like the poor couple in the story, the world didn't hold out much hope for this church and its people. But unlike the couple, Paul is telling the church to pull together, recognize the importance of each individual and the church as a whole. No one is above the other. The preacher is not greater than the teacher. The giver is not greater than the one who is serving. Each has a role. Some more than one, but each one is according to our faith. And I believe that the couple did get a few things correct. I'm going to try this. There we go. We're going to switch videos. This. Look at there. I just have to look the other way now. So the couple did get a few things right. We as Christians are to present ourselves wholly and completely to God, withholding nothing. So in our scripture passage, it has that verse that says we are to bring our bodies as a holy and living sacrifice, and that is our spiritual worship, is what our New Revised Standard Version says. But you know, several other translations says that's our reasonable worship. Wait a minute, which one is it? Well, it's both. You see, the word there doesn't really have a good English translation. What it means is that we are to bring our whole selves, mind, reason, body, it's established that in the scripture, and our very essence of who we are, our spiritual selves. Because you see, for ancient people, that was one. It was mind and body. And it wasn't reasonable like, oh, well, that's reasonable. It was reasonable in knowing that nothing else, anything less, would be unreasonable. So here we have a people 2,000 years ago in a society much like ours. You know, things haven't really changed with the human condition much. This was first century Rome, where it was proper, depending upon your religion, to offer sacrifices to pagan gods, to go to Jerusalem once a year to offer sacrifices to the God of Israel, to attend temple once a week, and then go right back to functioning just like any other member of society throughout the week. Wow. Things haven't changed, have they? But here, in this passage in Romans, God's asking for something different. And because of that, God is saying, once you have Jesus, you are transformed. You're no longer part of that regular status quo society. You are remade. And now, it's impossible, it's unreasonable to conform to society. Our very minds and our very spirits are made over. And this is the thing that will allow us to discern the will of God in our lives. As such, we are creatures of the Creator, all of us. And because of that, because we are all one, because we have all been transformed to use all of our gifts, we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. And no one should be setting themselves above others, is what Paul is telling the church in Rome. All gifts are important. I want to take a second here and talk to our kids. Your gifts are important. Your gifts matter. Your opinions matter. You know, you too are invited to join us on Wednesday. Let us know, you know, before we plan a whole bunch of stuff for our children and our youth, maybe we should get their opinion. What has God laid on your heart? Because in the body of Christ, one is not greater than the other. No, we are to present ourselves and our bodies individually, and we are to present ourselves collectively as the body of Christ. So let's talk for a minute here about that gospel passage. And they go together, the two. So Jesus loved a good wordplay. Jesus used so many puns in his ministry. We just don't know that because of the English translation. Jesus is asking Peter to tell, for Peter to tell Jesus, "Who am I?" Then Jesus proceeds to tell Peter who Peter is. He calls him Petros. That's the Greek name for Peter. Something in human flesh, a name, a person. And then he calls him Petra, which in Greek means rock. Makes a little more sense now, huh? Petros, you are Petra. You are Petros, and you are Petra. Something permanent, structured. And then he uses another pun, the word church. Ecclesia. In Jesus' time, it was generally thought of as a body of people, an assembly of like-minded folks. So people would assemble. It could be an assembly like a council deciding something. Could just be an assembly of a group of people playing a game, deciding something, joining together for a party. Ecclesia was a body of people. And then Jesus uses the context of the wordplay he just did with Peter on human, Petra, Petros, and structure, Petra. And he uses it to declare he will build his body of people as if it is a permanent structure on a rock. This excites me. Do you see the awesomeness of what Jesus is saying here about the church? It's a both and. As both an assembly of people, as the very body of Christ, in all our humanness, and eternally fixed in the world to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So, I was talking to Karen the other day, and we have something in common. We're both dancers. And for you dancers out there, you probably already know this. You see, you always have the one learning to dance. Very different than a dancer. Do you know what the difference is? It's because the dancer sees the vision of the dance as one whole and complete structure, instead of just people doing steps on time and in the right order. That is what God requests of us. He knows we are human and flawed, but he wants us to see the entire dance. He wants us to know that where one maybe missed a step, we can step in, and then they can see the rhythm and join back. God wants Christians to present themselves to God completely, withholding nothing in our dance with God. Taking our eyes off our feet and not worrying about the next step, but seeing the vision of the dance. And as such, when we do that, we are transformed. We are remade. And it's impossible again to conform to society's put your right foot in. Our very minds are remade and made over. And there's actually a Greek word that's used for this. And our scripture in Romans alludes to this word. It's called idiokinesis. As in the mind, idio, so in the body. As a choreographer and dance instructor, I actually learned this term in the many classes and instructions we would have about how to not only dance, but to teach someone to be a dancer. It requires us to see the dance as a whole, as one unit, collectively and complete, and we know the importance of the individual actions to make it happen. Yes, we can learn. We know what foot to put where. But when we dance, we cannot even think about the steps. We must simply have the movement in our minds, picture ourselves as part of the whole. I can tell you, today, with how many things went wrong when trying to do this live broadcast, if my mind wasn't put on worship, if God hadn't placed my heart on worship, we probably would have stopped at 10:24 and said, okay, we can't do this today, because the steps didn't work. But instead, we began dancing in concert with one another, knowing that if this piece falls, why, we know that part too, because we've seen it in our minds and we can make those adjustments because we keep our eye on the main thing, which is worship today. And we are transformed into dancers. So Jesus is calling us to an even greater transformation, not just going through the motions, but one where we become the very body of Christ, assembled together as a people, eternally acting in the world as the hands and feet of Christ. And all of us have every gift necessary to do so. Our scripture tells us that. The gift of joyful compassion. We often set that aside, but it was important enough for Paul to remind us that the person who is just present and brings joy is an important part of the church. So what gifts do we give freely to reflect our transformation? What gifts do we give as a reflection and a sign of our inward transformation? Yes, through God we are transformed for his work, all of us for the kingdom. Each individual acting in unity is what the reflection of transformation becomes. Knowing that all are important to the work of the kingdom, that every one of us have gifts for the church, and that if we remain united as members of the body and we are one with one another, then our transformation shows to the world, and therefore we offer our gifts and allow others to offer theirs, to join us. And a people transformed for the work of God becomes a people transformed into joy, and one transformed to transform the world. So we're working on this. How can we truly be transformed as individuals, as a church? How can we offer the space to let others bring their gifts without judgment? How can we live as a transformed people in a world that benefits our community instead of one that's bent on conformity? How can we give our gifts freely, again, without judgment of others or of ourselves? How many of us hide our gifts for fear of that judgment? And how can we allow them to not be afraid to bring their gift? You know, I often think what a different story the gift of the Magi might have been if we'd have heard about this poor couple in their 5th or 10th or 20th or 32nd year of marriage. They still might have struggled. They still might have not had all the answers. They still might have taken a misstep, left a blank space. But they would have known one another. And they would have known their gifts, and they would have known how to fill in and how to communicate and how to dance together. And instead of creating a situation where each had nothing, they would create a situation where each, the sum of their gifts was greater than what each individual could bring. We are to live as one in the will of God. We're to bring our gifts with love and with humbleness. Let us live today. Now, Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, as a transformed people, individually transformed in body, mind, and soul, leaving nothing, withholding nothing from God, and transformed collectively as the body of Christ, together as one in the world. No matter what people may say about us or to us, no matter what others might think that we are capable of individually or as a church, let's let them know we are transformed into the very body of Christ so that we might transform the world. Amen. We come now to that time.